And now God's word upon which that hymn is based from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." This is God's word. Please be seated. In Scripture, whenever God peels back the sky to give one of his servants a glimpse of heaven, the vision is very often similar. For heaven is filled with the glory of the Lord. The focal point of the vision is usually the throne of God, around which are gathered the angels and the archangels and all of the company of heaven, all lauding and magnifying and glorifying God in their worship. It is a breathtaking sight for any human to behold. Such was the vision that was granted to the likes of Ezekiel and to St. John in Revelation and to Isaiah in this text. And you would think that given such a vision of God in all of his splendor and majesty and glory, that the people who see this kind of a vision would be filled in response with ecstasy and giddiness as they ride a wave of an emotional high. And yet just the opposite is true. Instead of joy and giddiness, those who see this kind of a vision instead experience abject fear. And they describe for us their response of trembling in the presence of God. Very much like I always imagine the cowardly lion trembling in the presence of the great and powerful Oz. Except that Oz, it turns out, really wasn't anything to be feared after all. But God. Now there is a justifiable reason to be afraid in his presence. For the Lord had said to Moses, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." A sinner can no more stand in God's presence than darkness can abide in the light. And so here is Isaiah. Perhaps he is feeling down in the dumps because of the recent death of King Uzziah, who was such a good king over Israel. And like all of us do, he no doubt had feelings and worries about what the future held for Israel as a nation, and also for him personally as an Israelite. Things were not good in Israel in those days. When suddenly, Isaiah is caught up in a vision, and he finds himself suddenly in the presence of the great I Am, the Lord God Almighty, the Commander-in-Chief of heaven's hosts, the Creator of all that is seen and unseen, the Holy One of Israel. The angels are worshiping him with songs that thrice declare the holiness of God. Holy, holy, holy! And heaven and earth are shaken at the sound of their song. And Isaiah, in that moment, does not experience joy and ecstasy. Instead, he says, he comes undone. He says he's ruined. In the presence of that holiness of God, all of a sudden, he feels intensely his own uncleanness, his own inability to stand before God. And so he says in verse 5, "Woe to me, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And he knows that by all rights he should be dead now, for he, a sinner, is in the presence of holiness. It is the same thing that Peter felt in the gospel reading. When he was in the presence of Christ after that miraculous catch of fish. And suddenly Peter realizes that Jesus is more than just a man. This is God. And so he falls down before the Lord and says, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." It's the same thing that John felt when he saw the revelation of Jesus Christ. Even though John had been with Jesus for 3 years, now he sees Jesus in his holiness, and he falls down in the presence of Christ as though dead. Such is the reaction of anyone and everyone who truly catches even a small glimpse of the glory of God. We, in his presence, are crushed by the reality of our sin. Any pretense of imagined self-righteousness just melts away. The light of God's glory reveals the deepest, darkest recesses of our hearts and all that is in there. It takes away all the pride and replaces it with abject fear. My question today, have you caught this vision? Let me see if I can paint the vision for you right now. And no, it's not going to be like the vision that Isaiah saw. I guess we did pretty well with that hymn, but we didn't shake the lintels and the doorposts. They didn't fill the temple with smoke. The acolytes haven't burned anything down here this morning. That's the only way we're going to fill this place with smoke, I guess. But it's not everything that Isaiah saw, but open your eyes to see the things that are invisible in our midst. Because when we come here to this holy place, we stand upon holy ground. This is the house of the Lord. This is his temple. We have invoked his name among us. And though you cannot see it, you are now in the presence of that thrice holy God whose presence Isaiah could not abide. And like Isaiah, you come to this place and you have no wings to hide your shame. Your lips are also unclean, for you have spoken lies and curses and unloving words. You stand naked in your sin, without so much as a fig leaf to hide behind. You stand in the holy presence of God, and to stand in his presence is to tremble. When we come to worship, we are not dealing with a Santa Claus God. Although you would get that impression in many churches, where sin is never mentioned, where the confession of sin is never spoken, where there's not even a cross on the wall. You get the impression that church is all about feeling good, and it's all about claiming all of the goodies that God has for you in life. But here, our worship begins in reverence and solemnity and in awe. As we realize that here we are coming into the presence of a holy God whose wrath against sin is a consuming fire and in whose presence no sinner can stand. And yet though reverence and awe are appropriate as we come into God's presence, yet we do not need to come undone like Isaiah did. We are not ruined. The seraph in the text takes that burning coal from the altar and a pair of tongs. It is a remnant from the sin offering at the altar. And he brings it and he touches it to Isaiah's lips, cleansing him with fire so that he now stands before God a forgiven sinner. He is now fit to stand in God's presence because the sin has been removed from him. And he is now able to serve God. Well, you too have been made clean. There is no need for you to try to hide behind a fig leaf of your own excuses for what you've done. No need to try to cover yourself up with an animal skin of your own self-justifications for the things you thought and said. The Lord himself has provided you something so much better. the robe of Christ's own righteousness, which is yours just by believing. Christ came down from the glory of God to become one of us, to share in our humanity. And he took what is ours, our sin, and he took it into himself, into his flesh. And then he took it to the cross and he gave his life there as an atoning sacrifice. And then he took what was his and he made it ours. His righteousness, his holiness. So that St. Paul can say, God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death so that you may be presented holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Tom knew that he was in for it. He shouldn't have done it. When his parents were away, he had taken the family car on a joyride with some friends, thinking that his parents would never, ever find out. But that was before the accident happened. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, but the car did not fare so well. Thousands of dollars worth of damage. There was no way for Tom to hide this from his parents or to lie about it. He was going to have to come clean before his parents. When his parents arrived home and it came time to tell them, Tom was nervous, his mouth was dry, his heart was pounding in his chest. He felt almost sick. And he felt exposed before his parents as he told them the story. But he told them, and he told them the truth. And when it was all done, in his shame, he began to cry in their presence and to say repeatedly, over and over, how sorry he was. I'm so sorry. And then, much to his surprise, his father's response was amazingly gracious. He simply said, Son, I'm just glad that you and your friends are okay. I forgive you. Woe to me, Isaiah said, for I am ruined. Then amazingly, a seraph touched his lips with a burning coal and said those words that resound still in our lives. Behold, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.